said yes. Before I get started, I read this every time, but I'd like for us to stay focused on why we're here, and it's from our bylaws. It says the Church of Jesus Christ, Saints Haven Restoration Branch, will consider calls to the priesthood when the branch pastor testifies that he received divine inspiration and shares with his counselors that such calls should be made. Such calls will then be reviewed by the Melchizedek priesthood. If accepted, it will be sent back to the pastor to review with the candidates. Once the candidates accept the call, it will be brought before the body for final acceptance before ordination. And that's where we are tonight. when we discuss these calls in Melchizedek priesthood, you know, they're sworn to secrecy. And because we don't want undue pressure put upon the candidates that they might have opportunity to take some personal time without people bombarding them and saying, you know, you got to accept this. Why aren't you accepting? You know, it's to allow them the opportunity to have some personal time and not be pressured and to decide whether or not they want to accept the call, because it is a very big life-changing experience, as you all know. And so that's why, you know, Manny, you know, I haven't been pressuring him, and I don't think anybody else has. So this morning I talked to him, he says, yes, he'd like to accept. So we'll be considering Manny also to the office of deacon tonight, as well as Glenn to the office of teacher and Richard to the office of elder. Let's go ahead and sing a song. We will open with 486, Hark the Voice of Jesus Calling. And Brother Allen, would you open us with a prayer? Let's stand for this.
Hark the voice of Jesus calling.
This is a branch business meeting, and I've talked to Vance, and I think we're going to disperse if there's no objection with the reading of the minutes for our next meeting. And it is for the consideration of priesthood calls, and I think we probably most know the routine by now. We will have opportunity to, I will present the names in their office. The individual will have an opportunity to speak to that call, and then it'll be opened up to anyone who would like to share in regards to that particular call. And following that, we will take a vote on each individual priesthood call in office. We are recording this tonight, so we are going to have to use a traveling mic, so just be patient. If you'd like to speak, we will. Chris will bring the microphone to you that all may be able to hear what you might have to say. Our first call that we will be considering tonight is the call of Rich Adams to the office of elder, and I would invite Brother Adams up to share.
I was hoping he'd read the last 10 business meeting minutes so we have a little more time to sit back in that chair. I want to try to share some of the...
That's everybody's offer.
good point, Henry. I want to try to share what's been going on for the last few years in my head and how the Lord has worked with me. We're very lucky to have this gospel, to be a part of it, and to have a plan laid out all before us. What muddies the water is when you throw somebody like me into it, that is impatient with people, impatient with myself, and like to have stuff happen right now. Several years ago, we were at Atherton at an ordination service, and I'm going to admit to you that I was had a little pity party going on, that I'd been a deacon for several years, you know, and some other people it was called, and it's only human nature, and it's not, it would be my totally awesome thing to be a deacon my whole life, but a woman come up to me and said, "Oh, Richard, you'll be a lifetime deacon." And that was about the best compliment I ever got. Until about that night I got home and went to bed, and then I realized it just turned around and hit me. Then it turned into the insult, you know, that I'll never be anything but a deacon. But deacon is the most fantasticest thing, office to hold. And shortly after that, I had an experience. And I really thought it was sun, and the Lord gives you what you need. Gives you the wind in your sails, might say. And I got this overwhelming experience that I would not become a priest, I would become a deacon. That I would just wait, maybe I'd be 80 years old if I lived that long. I'd go from deacon to elder. So that carried me on. It puffed me up, and it, you know, and you need those things. I mean, the Lord gives you what you need, and you need it to carry you through those low times that we get pulled down. So I was going along just fine, and you know, when it come, it come, and I had that testimony. My patriarch blessing led to the call to the elder. Dan stopped me out here in the parking lot and says, "You got a call?" And I said, "I do." And he said, "That call is office of a priest." And not ever doubting Dan, I backed up, and it took me 3 or 4 weeks to accept that call. And had an overwhelming experience again that was made known to me that I was supposed to take the office of priest, so I was able to baptize. And I was given 3 names, and if the other 2 names don't ever be baptized, I feel like the experience between me and them, talking to them, not only uplifted them, I think it uplifted them in our friendship. But I don't know if it's my lacking or whatever. If that happens someday, that's great. If it don't. But I stopped Glenn in the parking lot, and I asked him. I said, "I've got a call to the office of priest, and I wasn't going to accept it for a little while, but I accept it because I'm led to believe that I'm going to baptize you." And you could have took a bucket of water and just thrown it over Glenn's face, and he tingled, and I knew that he was ready to be baptized at that time. We never said anything more. And again, mountaintop experience. And the Lord only gives us what we need when we need it. Makes us appreciate it that much more. And that experience right there carried me. Well, when we entered the waters that night, and I know that everybody knows this, but years ago I heard somebody, and it's mentioned in the scriptures, that you're standing in the Lord to baptize somebody. And I almost want to say, Glenn, let's go baptize again, because that was a great experience. And you know, because I mean, I felt one, and I felt the Lord's presence so strong that night as we went into the waters. And the steps going up to the baptismal fountain, it just, the tingling feeling, and you know the feeling I'm talking about, came over me that I was baptizing a teacher. That was hard to climb them steps, you know, and never said nothing to no one. And so I don't know why we were called him to a teacher and I was the office elder at the same time. But it does tie in, and he's going to share some more about what this you know, a year ago, next Sunday night will be. And so when the call come forth, get up to warp speed here. So when the call come forth as the elder, Dan and Alan come to the house, and I knew it was coming, but it blows you away. The added responsibility and just the load, and I don't feel worthy of it, and I don't think I could ever stand here and feel worthy of accepting the call, but I'm ready to ask for his guidance to accept that call and to strive to study to fulfill that call. But I worked with a lot of priesthood over the years at district conferences, and I was more involved with the all priesthood communion services we had at the auditorium. And I got to know a lot of different people, and the worst, it just really leaves a bitter taste in my mouth when I go ask somebody to help, and they'd say, oh, I can't do that anymore, I'm an elder. And it just blow me away, and because we should be ready to serve no matter what priesthood office we hold, and be ready to do anything. And I always want it to be said that I'm ready to assist the deacons at any time, or the priests, or whatever. The membership is the most important office to hold, and I think the priesthood is set aside to serve you. If that's anything that I set a goal for myself, is that, and not be those ones that want to ask for help and refuse, because they feel like you're too good to do that. But It's when they come to the house, I said a prayer and set to the office in a prayer, because the commitment to the Lord that I will not say no. I am not going to stand here and tell you that I'm worthy of it, like I said, and that I feel like I could fulfill every position in an elder's position, but I'm ready for him to help me with that. So thank you.
We'll open it up for anybody who would like to add their voice or whatever they would like to share tonight, if there'd be anyone. So at this time, we'll consider Brother Adams. In our new building, we'll have traveling mics that record.
You got a traveling mic now.
That's right.
Gotta go.
As we were leaving the Atherton congregation, I tracked Richard down early one morning, and he was at McDonald's. And we visited a little bit, and we were all very low at that point. And as I turned to walk away, I made the comment that someday you will be called to the office of elder. And nobody knows the timetable. It's been a little while since we've left there. But there was another occasion that I also felt that he would be called to the office of elder. And then not too long ago, I think I was taking a shower one morning, and at least the third time, it came across that Richard had to call to the office of elder, and there was one more word, now. So I struggled with that for a while, and finally I decided it's time to call Dan. So I called him one morning, and I visited with him a little bit, and conveyed the message that I felt like Richard had a call to the office of elder. But I left the word now off. And it wasn't too long after that that Dan presented his name. So that's my testimony.
If anybody is, I'm trying to find the words. If I could be as close to the people of this congregation that Richard is, I would be very, very grateful. He has helped me at times when I really need it. And he talked about the night of baptism. The night that he did that, we got in that water, it was so cold. Nobody probably heard me, but I went like that, and he put his hands like that on me, and it just calmed me down, and I knew that this was a man of God. And the same day that I told Dan I would accept teacher's office, he told me about Richard, and I believe that this is where Richard needs to be. Thank you.
Probably in the last 10 years or 15, I've knew Richard in a capacity of one that was a deacon. And he done it with the enthusiasm and determination that the Lord had placed in him. You know, we all have different gifts and talents. We have shortcomings, and we have faults. But my wife and I have talked several times in the last year or so about the spiritual growth we have seen in Richard. I'm not as big as he is, and I can't move as much as he can. But I had been his helpmate at different times when we was working on the church at Atherton. And I appreciated that he had never faltered. He was one that was stalwart. And we need that stalwart in the Church of Jesus Christ. And as we had been talking about his spiritual growth, that how his prayer life has changed. And we knew, and when the pastor presented the names to us, well, I felt that this was right, that Richard had fulfilled his obligation as a deacon, and the purpose of a teacher was a preparation for the eldership. And I have great faith in Richard and know that he will do the best that God, talents that God has given him. And we're not all the same. I'm not Dan, and I'm not Richard, and you're not me. I have different gifts and talents, and the Lord calls each one according to the gifts and talents. And I believe, my testimony has been, as I have read and read, that I think the men in God's church are, if they prepare themselves, are called to priesthood. And the mother woman is called to motherhood. And I believe that is the purpose of the creation in the beginning with God. He created man and he created woman out of the rib of Adam, that she would be a mother to the sons that are born unto them. And so I just will support Richard with all of my strength and effort, and of course I think each and every one of you will do the same. Thank you.
What has it been since 2001 that we've been here now? And so it's been a little over 11 years that I've known Richard. I think that what he said to at the end of what he said tonight strikes me as who Richard really is. That the membership is the most important office that we hold. And that priesthood is just a servant to that. And I've seen him be that servant over and over again to all of you. I can't probably pick out one of you that he hasn't been that to. And I just enjoyed that relationship with this branch so much. And that he epitomizes that same feeling within me that I feel for each of you, that, and I feel like your family. And Richard's my family. And he's proven it over and over to us in a Christ-like way. And when I heard that he was being called to the office of priest, I felt an overwhelming power of the Spirit. And I was, there was no hesitation on my part as one of those that deliberated, as Dan said, when we meet as elders. And when I heard this, but at that same time, when I first heard that, I felt within me it wasn't for very long, because I also felt that urging of the Spirit that he would be called to the office of elder. And maybe it was for my benefit that he wasn't called to the office of elder so soon, because I was able to at least participate in Glenn's confirmation. But I really am thankful that we have a loving Heavenly Father. Who takes something that, when I walked in here tonight, I thought, what would the world see when they looked in here? Would they see foolishness? And then I thought, they would. But what we see is the kind hand of a loving father, a loving parent, who nudges us and directs us into paths of service and paths of righteousness, that his kingdom might flourish. And then we might work in some orderly fashion to bring him out righteousness and peace and joy through the power of His Spirit in us. And I just want to share one more thing. Richard was able to help me a couple of weeks ago. And as we were working on my automobile, and I know that he's probably done this to, for many of you too, that I just felt that, I guess that sensation of the Holy Spirit in me, which he called tingling, of how I would be serving with him in an expanded form. And I was very grateful that my Heavenly Father allowed me to be a part of His life, and He mine. And I won't share any more, but I do have a little bit more to share later when I share about Glenn.
No one else wishes to share, I'll go ahead and present the name of Rich Adams to the Office of Elder, and those that can support Richard in that call, would you please raise your hand? Opposed? Thank you. Just a side note, just for the other two gentlemen, Richard has the gift of gab. So we aren't expecting you to share. If you can if you want, but just don't think you have to share that long. But I always tell him he has the gift of, and that's a compliment, Richard. So at this time, I'd like to present the name of Glenn Hughes to the Office of Teachers. So Brother Glenn.
Thank you, Dan. I'm not going to, this is just my anchor here. It's very humbling to be here this evening. This morning, Richard told me, he said, I don't have much to say, so you need to fill in about 30, 45 minutes. And the week before, he said, think about what you want to say, and I forgot everything. So. But Dan came to me, it was one morning when I was sick at home, Sunday morning, and I was laying down and I heard doorbell ring. Oh my. And then it rang again. I said, I better answer that. And it was Dan. Thank God for Dan. At that time, he told me I had to call him the teacher. It was quite a bomb. I always wanted to be a good member. And but I guess God has a better plan. So I got home. Rowena got home that afternoon, and I told her. What a reaction. She about fell through the floor. So a few days after getting over that, we went on. I would never turn something down that God offered me, but I was real... Bear with me, please. I was real concerned with who I was, and I just wanted to make sure that I could fill that office. And through much testimony from Alan, shared with me his testimony, not I was baptized, and Nathan sure gave me a call and shared his testimony. And I go back to that night that I was baptized, and I walked in that water. I said, it was about 10 degrees colder in the Missouri River. I just shivered. And like I said, Richard put his hands on me and I just calmed down. Everything was fine. We got through and everything else going to the back. There's Alan Owen standing on the back wall, big smile on his face. I said, something is up. So. It's been a few, actually, next Sunday will be 1 year anniversary of my baptism. And it's just such a marvelous experience, and I couldn't ask to share with more group better than what you are. I mean, you're family, and I hadn't been around a whole lot of other churches, but this is the best priesthood that I've seen so far, and it would just be a humbling experience to be part of that, and I just want to thank you very much.
Would there be anybody else that'd like to share?
I wouldn't jump up first, but I thought it was fitting. As Glenn shared his with us that night before he made his walk to be baptized, as he turned and he walked away, the words came, as in days of old, that he had a call to the priesthood. And it was just that simple.
The office of teacher is an office that we don't have very many of in the restoration, and one of the few that we have was just ordained to the office of elder. And so I was praying about it and saying, you know, God, you know, in our district we don't have very many teachers. You know, who is going to be called to the office of teacher? And at that point, the Spirit fell upon me and gave me the name of Glenn Hughes. And so a couple of days later, I called Dad and I said, Dad, when are you going to call Glenn to the office of teacher? And he didn't say anything, but I guess after I called, he called Richard and thought Richard was loose-lipped. So I guess they'd already been considering that call. So anyway, I know of an assurity that Glenn does have a call to the office of teacher.
I guess I could just tell on Rolina a little bit, you know. I said, I'm so excited for you. And she goes, yeah, office of teacher, do you? I said, it's the one, you know. And Glenn says such few words, not like me. Dan says I have the gift of gab, and I'm always worried what I'm going to say, you know. But anyway, what comes out of Glenn's mouth is the meat. And when I think of a teacher, I always feel like a teacher is the main one that stops backbiting, I think is his main job, and to help educate people. But, I mean, backbiting is the most important thing. And I see Glenn working so much in that capacity. And such few words, but meat comes out. And I'm excited for him.
On the night Glenn got baptized, I too had a not a rock hard experience, but just as he spoke before he got baptized, I just felt the Spirit come before me and say, and let me know that there's something here for Glenn, and he will soon be called to the priesthood. I didn't have what priesthood he would be, but I knew he would be called to the priesthood. So.
All these experiences kind of meld together sometimes. My first experience with Glenn and Rowena, on a more personal level, you know, one where we were really in contact with each other, was when Brother Johnson and I would come over to their home, and we would go through the Go Ye and Teach slides with them. And I think that's been a couple years now, hasn't it? Yeah. 4 years. And we would go into their little off room, off the main room, and because I think it was summertime that we were there, and it was a little cooler or something. I'm not sure why, but we'd go in there, and we'd set up my computer, and we'd all huddle around the computer, and we'd go through it. And Glenn was just a wonderful student. You know, at the time I was teaching. And you know, I just love students like that. They're just energetic about learning, and you know, wanted to learn. And you know, there was a lot of things that he was unfamiliar with about the restoration. And so we went through and talked about those things, and he had all these questions, and you know, and he was finding answers, and I was just praying, Heavenly Father, this is wonderful, you know, this is, you know, this man is going to be filled with your Holy Spirit one day. And I knew that through the waters of baptism and the confirmation into the church. And then there was a time when it just kind of, you know, there was a moment of maybe where he had to digest what he was learning. And you know, every now and then I'd come up to him and say, well, you know, are you about ready? And I don't know how often that was, but once a month or more. And at some point, you know, in my mind, I was thinking, you know, if this is going to happen, then probably I might be the one that'll baptize him. And then Richard was called to the office of priest. And this is how I'm going to, these two things tie together for me. And then, you know, I asked him that one more time. I said, are you going to be baptized soon? And he says, yes. And he says, Richard has asked me, and Richard's going to baptize me. And I said, wonderful. You know, I just felt so excited in that relationship. And, you know, the Lord has told us that how great our joy will be when just one person comes into the kingdom. And, you know, for me, you know, I've seen a lot of people baptized. I've baptized a lot of people. And, you know, when I heard that news from Glenn, I was just so excited about that. I knew that the Lord had in store for him a wonderful ministry, one that he could bring and share with each of us. And later on in our history, we have our prayer service at home because it's a long story, but it all started with my daughter and her husband. But now they moved to Jacksonville, but we still continue it because of those stragglers who can't find a way to prayer service. Sometimes our prayer service starts at 7:30, sometimes even a quarter to 8, depending on when everybody gets there, because we do it for them because they can't get off from work and to prayer service easily. And we went over, and this was when I think Rowena was having her knee issues. And we would go over and we would share our prayer service with them in their home. They would, you know, voluntarily open it up for us, and we'd go in. And we were there one time, and we began sharing testimonies, and Glenn began to speak, and he shared his testimony at that time. And it was at that moment I knew, just as Richard says, that when out of his mouth comes me, I knew that he had the call to the office of teacher. It just came, it overwhelmed me. And I held it within me. I didn't speak to anybody about it. I just waited patiently because I knew this was a patient event from the long experience that we had through going towards baptism. And then, you know, we got the call to come together as elders and from Dan, and I knew when that happens, it's priesthood callings usually. And so, you know, when they presented Glenn's name that night, you know, my whole heart just leapt. And I probably felt like Elizabeth, you know, when the baby jumped in her womb, you know, when Jesus came in, you know, and Mary, and you know, I just felt that excitement, and I'm so excited about what the Lord is doing in His church today, and manifesting His Holy Spirit, His gospel, you know, the word of wisdom going forth amongst the saints, everyone striving to be obedient to the commandments of God, desiring to keep that order within the body. And these are essential parts of that. And the teacher is one of those essential parts. And really, we've lacked that so much in the church. So it's with my whole heart that I extend myself to this calling.
I have to stand and explain myself a little bit since they put me in such a bad life. I think they're in cahoots together. Glenn was right. You could have knocked me over with a feather when he told me this. My first reaction was, I know the Lord's not wrong, but He can't see to drive at night. Most evenings he can't even stand to have his clothes on by the time evening gets here. I just don't understand this at all. And I didn't understand it. I have seen in the last year and a half very much growth in Glenn. And especially since he was baptized. He has the wonderful privilege of having a job that he can take the Book of Mormon to work with him and read it at work. And so it's he has gone through that more than once. And he's got it all marked up, and the pages are already getting crumpled and everything. It really looks, it's a good feeling. It's great that he's doing that. But I felt like that I really needed the Lord to tell me that this was going to be okay. And I guess that's the mothering in me that comes out, even though he's my husband, but I feel like I need to protect him a little bit, you know, from these dangers of trying to drive and that kind of thing. And whenever Joseph Smith was here and preached that Sunday, and I wrote it down because I wanted to make sure, because I felt like that at that point he was talking to me. And it said from section 64:7a, "Behold, the Lord requireth the heart and a willing mind." And he said, that is what the Lord requires, and that's all he requires. And I knew that when he said that, that I have seen that in Glenn has grown, that he does have that willing heart. And I will certainly work to do whatever I can to help support him in this.
This time, I'll present the name of Glenn Hughes to the office of teacher and ask all those that can support him in that office, please raise your hand. Opposed? Thank you. Brother Adams, I broke the podium again. Yeah. There we go. Thank you. Okay. Next, we will consider Manny Morales to the office of deacon. For Manny.
Well, I was hoping Glenn's would have been a lot longer, like Richard's, because I was thinking what to say, and now that it wasn't as long, I feel like it's not going to be in the order I want it to be in. But can I take this off the stand? Because I feel like I'm going to stare at this the whole time. But ever since I was in the church, I've known a lot of you guys for a long, long time. Especially, like, I remember Richard the most because he's so tall, right? And so he's always been a standout to me when I was little. So I looked up to a lot of people. And so I knew my mom ever since I was little. She always wanted me to take some kind of office because she was so into the church and she liked it a lot. And so finally I got baptized and I was like, oh, I don't think it'll happen. I don't know. It's just, I don't know if it'll ever will. And so then Gary got called to the office. And that was him and his four brothers, or him and his three brothers and my uncle Fred are now. It's like, oh man, I'm next. Like, I'm not gonna be ready for this. And so then around Christmas time, a little before, when I swore into the Marines, kind of had the feeling. I was like, yeah, I'm getting to that age. It's gonna happen here pretty soon. So then I was like, oh man, I don't know if I'm ready for this. And then so finally, one day, Dan tapped me on the shoulder and he said, hey, can I talk to you for a second? I was like, it's like, here it comes. And then he told me, and I said, I'm not sure if I'm ready for this. And so I've always been more of like a visual learner instead of just like praying that like it'll come to me. Like, I just ask for things that, like, to show me. Like I said, So they have us run tests in the Marines to make sure we're ready to leave, and they have us do physical tests. So I said, Lord, if I do good in this test, I'll accept this office without any more question. Like, oh, I'll do it. And so we went, and I'm like, oh man, everybody looks pretty fired up. I think I'm gonna just do average, like I always do. So I was paired up with another kid, and we were in teams, and our team finished right behind the other, our two like our really all-star people. Who one was like a college cross-country runner, and the other is some kind of. I think he got number one in state for wrestling, so he's really good athletes. And me and this other kid are just your average Joes, and we killed everybody and just came in right behind this team. I said, oh man, all right, here, yeah, all right, did it again. And so then the next Sunday came, and Dan didn't pressure me like he said he would, and I said, maybe I can let it slide a little bit. So here goes another week, and then we had another test come up, and so I said, okay, this time, it was a different one, so we had to do a lot of running, and I said, okay, if I do really good on this run, and all of our crunches and our push-ups and stuff, then this time I will do it for sure. And then, so I came in the top 10, and we had like 50 people there. I came in number 6, I think, and all the other crazy runner kids that did a lot of running in high school and college, they're the only ones who finished in front of me. So, okay, I'll do it. And so, it was last Sunday I came to church, and I didn't see Dan. Like, I saw him during the service, but then after church I didn't see him. And so then I couldn't find him, and so I was like, okay, I'll just go. And then this week I was like, all right, I need to do it. So then finally at the end of the service today, Dan pulled me out right before, like during the last song, like in the last line of the song, he pulled me out. I was like, oh cool, I don't have to go find him today. So that's kind of how it happened. And he helped me, the Lord helped me a lot, see that it was time. Like, I know a lot of us ask for him to give us stuff, to bless us with stuff. We don't give a lot of stuff back, so. I know he saved my life a couple times, like when my house blew up and that kind of thing. So I know I owe him a lot, so I feel like it's time to start giving back. And so like Richard told me earlier, where me and a few of the others are going to be like the Three Stooges now. So we're all going to be deacons, and Glenn. But Glenn's going to be a teacher now. So, yeah, I hope I'll be able to grow closer to a lot of you. And so thank you for the calling.
Anyone else wishing to share?
Were you standing back there waiting on Kevin Anderson that morning? That man, he walked in.
It could be.
Every once in a while, Dan will stand at the back with a rather worried look on his face as he's waiting for ministers to show up. I might have been in charge that morning. I don't know. I think it was equal worry, because there's always been kind of an underwritten that if the speaker doesn't show up, that you're responsible. And we didn't have Glenn on the job yet. So anyway, Dan was looking out, and Manny walked in. And he just seemed to kind of be lit up that morning. And I didn't think any more of it. And as the pastor met that evening, and Dan brought Manny's name up, I thought back to that experience of looking at Manny and how he was lit up that morning. And so there was no question that he does have a call. And we can all see tonight that he's willing to serve.
And then we'll come over there. Go ahead. You can stand up.
I just actually could have spoken with all three of the men tonight, but Manny was leaving church. I think it was last Sunday, Manny, wasn't it? And we were talking about him going into the military and praying before he went that he would be paired with people of like precious faith. And I was able to share with him some testimonies of Bob when he was in the military, and how the Lord placed him as a pastor in some areas, how the Lord placed him in places where nobody else was there to minister. And because of his military and where he was able to minister in ways that still have meaning in a lot of people's lives. And I was just impressed at the time that Manny would be doing the same. I didn't know he had a call until we sat down here tonight. But I felt it last week when we talked, Manny, that the Lord was directing for your future and where you were going, and that this power that will be given you in your ordination will be important as you give your heart to him and as you share with those you're going to. So I just wanted to share that testimony with you too, and I have a testimony I've shared with Ben and with Richard too.
I'm with Karen. I could have stood for all of the men tonight. I love each of you, and we're definitely in support of you and have testimonies. I wanted to stand in particular with Manny. I had Manny as a student in fifth grade, and I realized when I had him, he was 10, that he was a church member, and I was so excited. I loved it when I had my church kids come through, and it's just been phenomenal to see the change, and Manny, just growing up in general, and I'm not trying to embarrass you, but you just have turned into a really, really neat person, a neat man, and to see you take that and to accept the call of the Lord and to really become a man of God and to go serve our country is just phenomenal, and I definitely know that this call is of the Lord, and I just want you to know our prayers are with you, and we're supportive as a church family when you go away, and that the work is just starting. So remember, wherever you are, that's your field of work. So. This is kind of becoming an echo, but I could stand for all three. They're all like family to me. I love Richard. He's like family, and I know that his call is true. And Glenn, as soon as I heard that he was being called, I knew it was the teacher. It's perfect. It just fits. And Manny, Dad called. He's so funny. You know, he said that sometimes people, you know, can't have loose lips. Well, he called, and he said nobody knows yet, but we didn't get to announce it. But I really wanted you to know that, you know, Manny's going to have a call tonight. And I said, I already know. He's like, how? I said, I just did. We saw Dad pulling Manny out, and Mike and I are like, I don't know what he's doing right now. It wasn't a secret, because sometimes you just know, but I'm just so excited for all three of you, and I just love all of you so much, and we're just so proud of Manny. We had him in youth group, and he's just such a neat guy. We just got to know him so well, and he was so willing to do anything we asked of him. He never complained, just very outgoing. He's going to do a really good job as a deacon, and we just are so excited for him, and we're sad that he's going away, but it's for a good reason, and we're so proud of him.
It was, Manny alluded to it, but it was so different. This little guy was coming in church, and all of a sudden I'm looking eye to eye to him, and he enjoyed looking eye to eye to me. It seemed like he just jumped up in the last, you know, just no time at all. I go, whoa, where'd you come from? So what I want to allude to, when he shared about the house blowing up, I think we might have been up at Allen's, or we might have been here. Him and his mom shared one day. I saw him speak, and I just go, wow, that's going to be a priesthood member someday. And I was there that night at the house after it blew up. Fred had called me, and I think there was a truck keys and a billfold they were trying to find. And the truck key, the truck was in the middle of it. We drug the truck out of it, carried the truck out with Bobcat, and dug through, and physically seeing that house, how it blew up, how the Lord sheltered that family, I knew and felt the presence of angels still there. And, you know, if you didn't know, the pipe sheared, the house blew up, and they basically rode their beds to the backyard, and Manny come running in his pajamas. Now, to see that blown, walls blown, it just, you would never believe anybody, three people lived out of that house. And so the Lord has a very special place for your whole family, and how to serve, and his mom is just fantastic. You know, she'll call me every now and then and ask a question, and for some reason she thinks I know schedules around here or something. She'll call and ask a question, you know, oh, right, and then, and Gary, we appreciate Gary, but I just, that the Lord really sheltered that family that night, and for the work you've got to do now, and may the force be with you as you go to Marines, and I know that's something you really like to do, and for you'll be very missed here, and we'll be praying for you.
Well, I just know that I have to say this. I, even before I was a member of this church, there were things that happened that now when I became a member of this church and I see all the things that God does for us, I look back and I think that's, you know, that was a reason. Well, I have shared this before, but I think some people don't know, and when always till this day, I wonder sometimes, because you know, Manny's father and me got divorced, but we were together for 3 years before Manny came, and for 3 years I wasn't able to get pregnant. It was just not happening, and we had two elders laid hands on us, and then pretty soon I was pregnant, and before Manny I had a miscarriage. So I was told that I probably would have problems getting pregnant and keeping the baby. But I did. I never felt better ever before. And the pregnancy went well, and he was born. And I think that was, you know, a miracle there. And then, you know, the house explosion. And then on one trip, him and his dad and his family got in a real bad accident in Mexico, and here he is. They didn't get hurt either at all. There was a pretty bad, because their truck was pulling a small trailer, but an 18-wheeler swept it on the side and threw it out the road, and they didn't get hurt at all. And so there is several instances where I can see the presence of angels, God's angels, protecting him and protecting us too. So I knew, I've been knowing that it was just a matter of time until he would be called. So now I know also that once he goes into service, he will have God's angels protecting him and helping him serve God wherever he goes. To do good and to, with God's guidance, he'll be able to help other people that might need God's presence in their lives. So that's what I can
say. No one else is wishing to speak. I'll go ahead and present the name of Manny Morales to the Office of Deacon. All those that can support that, please raise your hand. Opposed? Thank you. This was a business meeting, but it was a worship service. And, you know, that's the way it should be when we come together to conduct the business of the branch. I know so many times in talking with the gentleman, you know, you get different responses. You know, a lot of them is, I have no idea what they do. And I always tell them, well, when hands are placed upon your head, you don't have to know everything there is to know, because God will provide and it's a learning process. And I think we heard this morning that God does give us weaknesses, that through His strength we might be able to do those things He's asked us to do, and that's the way it is. And And these men are not perfect, as none of us are perfect. They make mistakes. They'll make mistakes, as we all make mistakes. But they are called. These three calls were kind of different because they were all kind of somehow tied and interlocked together. So that was a neat experience for me, too. So that concludes our service for tonight and our business meeting, unless anybody has anything else. If not, I think I'll just ask Brother Clarence, would you come up and close us with a prayer? If you'd want to stand.
Our God and our Father, in the blessed and sacred name of Jesus Christ, we meet here in your house this evening, Father, to sing songs unto thee, say praises unto thee, and thank you for the watch, care, and protection. We pray, Father, that these men that have been called for a service in your priesthood, that you might bless them with your spirit of compassion and understanding, and knowing that this is a lifelong journey. It isn't something that we only take on for a period of time and then we step back. It is a thing that we put our trust in thee, Father, for the direction that you will give each and every one of us as we stand in your stead to break the bread of life unto those that will be in front of us. We know that thou has a plan for each one of our lives, and it is an eternal plan, and we need to be receptive to that plan, Father, that we might follow the pattern that you have set before us. And as Glenn and Richard and Manny have accepted this call into your holy priesthood to represent you, Father, in word and in deed. And so we would pray, Father, that you might bless them, protect them, give them understanding, and give them wisdom. And bless this congregation that has accepted their calling and their ministry to be one with each and every one of us. For like I have heard this night, membership is the greatest calling that any of us could have, as we have found that glorious gospel in this latter days. And we pray that you will take us into your care, that you will bless us, keep us safe, and deliver us from evil. It's my prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I could have said something to Manny that time.
With him?